Reagan DeMatha, artist, and has an exhibition at the moment at 45 Downstairs. Hi, Reagan, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me here. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. Well. Good, thanks. I love the title of the exhibition. It's called Art, Life, Love, Death, and a Respectable Haircut. Obviously, you've got a good sense of humour as well. But as we always like to, give us your background.
So I am a painter primarily, yep. But I guess also a bit of a constructionist, and I've been practicing for about 20 years now. I grew up in Gippsland and studied in Gippsland, moved to Melbourne about 10 years ago, where I met my wife, fortunately, and we now have a little girl named Ruby.
How old?
3 years old.
Oh, gosh.
And keeps me on my toes.
I betcha.
So hence the respectable haircut. It's time to grow up and be an adult finally.
Oh, so what was your haircut like before, or was it just a total joke?
I wasn't a total joke, but we went through a few different phases of outrageousness.
Right, as we all did. Not a Flock of Seagulls haircut, did you?
No, unfortunately not. Couldn't cram that one in.
Now, I have to go back. You can't let constructionists go without some sort of comment. Artists and constructionists. Just tell me a little bit about constructionists. What did you actually do?
Well, I guess the way I approach my work is more of a construction-based approach than a traditional painting approach. The way I layer the work and the, I guess, found objects that I bring into it as well.
Okay, that explains it.
Now keep on going. You're like, where did the love of art come from?
The way I generally sum it up is when I was 13, I wanted to be an architect, thought it'd be a fantastic idea.
Ah, so that's why the construction thing comes in, yeah.
But found it a little too restrictive and not quite creative enough. And then growing up in the 90s, I did what every teenager thought they should do and started designing CD covers and T-shirts. realised that wasn't really going to happen. And then when I was 15, I had my first art lesson, picked up a paintbrush, and after that, never really looked back.
Right. It's a tough life.
Yes, amen to that.
So, how do you juggle, especially being a family man now?
That would be the key word, the juggling. I work, I paint, I parent occasionally. I guess it's very challenging, very difficult. I was quite lucky to get the residency at 45 Downstairs because at the moment we're waiting for our house and my new studio to be built. And as builders do, there's been several delays.
Yeah. Now, how important, when everyone talks about the great job 45 Downstairs does, how does it help you as an artist?
The guys there are amazing. I mean, as I said before, I was quite fortunate to get the residency there because I was really looking for something to do creatively. But I've been quite fortunate to have several residencies, and these guys are by far the most supportive and most wonderful group of people I've ever met.
So explain to our listeners what a residency entails.
Yeah, sure, not a problem. So the 45 residency in particular was 4 months of studio space. Mm-hmm. So they gave me the space at the back of the gallery and a lot of time and support, and that culminated in the exhibition that's on at the moment. So they've actually supported me for the studio costs and for the exhibition costs and the promotion costs.
Right.
Where does that relationship start, though? Or, how far back did you make that connection?
Well, funnily enough, when I was a student going back 15, 16 years ago in Gippsland, I used to come to Melbourne and do, the art tour through the city, and you'd always go up and down Flinders Lane. So I was aware of 45 Downstairs and have been for quite a while. It's a fantastic space. And some of my other friends have shown there as well. So I've seen the space several times before. And when the residency came up, because I hadn't done anything for a while and I was, busting to get into the studio and do something, I just had to snap it up and go for it.
Mm. And you were saying all your friends have exhibited there. Do you hang out with fellow artists?
Not as much as I would like to now that I'm sort of, playing parent and got family commitments and work commitments as well. But I have been fortunate enough to spend a bit of time at Appleton Street Studios in Richmond and also Blender Studios before they moved. And you get to meet some pretty amazing people.
How does that impact on the way you look at art, when you speak to other artists?
I think it's good because it gives you, feedback and opportunity to see what they're doing, to get their thoughts on what you're doing, and just generally be able to, shoot the shit, if you don't mind me saying so.
Which is important, isn't it? Because if you lock yourself away in the studio, sometimes You are losing yourself, aren't you, and losing yourself to reality.
Yeah, one of the things I found really interesting about the residency at 45 Downstairs, because as I said before, having been at Appleton and also been at Blender, you know, that was a community studio space, whereas at 45 I was the only artist in the studio. So it was really important for me to sort of get out of there from time to time and go and talk to the gallery manager, Briar, who was absolutely amazing and supportive, and some of the other staff there, and Mary Lou, the director, because you needed that feedback and input to sometimes get your ideas sorted as well.
Yeah, because it's been through history that, you know, like pretty much every major artist has always collaborated or had friends in the biz, per se.
Yeah, I think you have to, as you know, as novel as it would be to lock yourself away in the studio and just consume yourself with your art, it's not going to be very productive.
No. Now tell us, what is it? What have you done for this exhibition?
A lot of painting, a few objects, and a bit of construction. It's inspired by a trip my wife and I took about 5 years ago to Mexico and South America.
Uh-huh.
Again, going back to when I was a teenager, I actually saw a snippet of the Day of the Dead Festival.
Right.
And have wanted to go there ever since.
Oh.
And thankfully, both my wife and I enjoy travelling and have been fortunate enough to do a lot of travelling.
Right.
And had been to Mexico before, but never to the Day of the Dead Festival. So after we got married, we decided that we would take our honeymoon and kickstart that at the Day of the Dead Festival in Mexico, and then spent 5 months travelling through Mexico and South America,
wow,
finishing off at the Carnival in Rio.
Right. And, you know, like, so has this exhibition taken on that very dark look of Day of the Dead, or is it the wonderful colours that we know from Mexico?
Definitely the wonderful colours, yeah. I enjoy the way they look at it and the way they take the opportunity to, you know, celebrate life and honour those that they've shared their lives with.
Yeah, and that is the big thing about the colours of Mexico. You know, like, they're more brighter than brash, and what was it when you were there? You know, how did you feel the art made such an impact on the artist there?
Well, it was interesting because, I mean, look, like I said before, I've been fortunate to travel quite a lot. One of the first trips I took after finishing university was, you know, the art museum tour that every art student goes on through London and the UK and Europe. But when I went to the Day of the Dead Festival, we actually stayed away from the major cities and went to Aguascalientes, which is the home of José Guadalupe. And they have an amazing museum there, one of the most amazing museums I've ever seen, which is literally the National Museum of the Dead. And it blew me away. So I collected a lot of books and images from them and the artists there as well. And it was just really nice to be introduced to, you know, a different culture and a different approach to the way that they make their art as well.
Right. And what's the impact been like of people that have seen your art, of this exhibition?
Well, thankfully, it's been quite positive. This is the second exhibition I've done based on that trip, but this one has taken on a more of a personal tone, touching on, you know, getting married, having a family, building our home, and
having,
I guess,
your haircuts.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Growing up, I guess, you know, there's a lot of retrospection in this exhibition, a lot of, you know, sort of looking backwards to move forwards.
Okay. Is there any particular, you know, like without seeing the art, because it's hard having a conversation with somebody over a radio and not knowing what the art looks like for our listeners, you know, like what, how can you paint that picture apart from the colours?
Well, look, the work, the exhibition, it's bright, it's bold, it's big. There's a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm. I kind of am quite happy with where I am in my life at the moment. I think, you know, there's a lot of abstract ideas in there, but also some figurative works as well, and some three-dimensional sculptural elements where I've started to bring in, for example, the skulls or the calaveras from the Day of the Dead Festival as well.
Right, because, you know, like you've actually picked a topic that's pretty now, isn't it? You know, like it's really popular right this very moment.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, we did this 5 years ago, but we've sort of been able to tap into something that is, like you said, quite popular at the moment, and it's nice to see how that work compares to what else is happening around there as well.
Yeah. You know, like even to the last Bond film, they opened with that amazing Day of the Dead, which they created. And since then, Mexico City has done exactly what that Bond film did, because they never actually had that parade before.
I know, and as soon as I saw that, I'm like, geez, they should do that, and now I want to go back. So hopefully we'll have another trip there soon. I'd really like to take my daughter there and show her the festival as well.
Yeah, because, you know, like it is so unique, isn't it? You know, like, and so different, and the fact is that I went to like the famous circus people, Circus LA, and they did Day of the Dead scene. This last production that they did as well. And, you know, like that's how. And when they do it, you know it's big.
Definitely. If they're onto it.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like you've got all of that out of your system now, and you're sort of looking towards the next, concept, or are you still sort of in this world?
Oh, good question. I think there might be one more exhibition. Right. Even when I was away overseas and making a lot of notes and doing a lot of drawing and sketching, I could see three big bodies of work. That said, you know, because it's been so long since we were there, this one's sort of changed and taken on a more sort of personal direction. So I'll be interested to see how it does evolve and how it does develop. I think there's a few more ideas I'd like to explore, but that'll have a lot to do with when I finally get to move into my new studio.
Right. And how many pieces are in this exhibition?
Just under 40 pieces.
Oh, gee, that's a lot.
Well, I created just over 50 for the exhibition, but we had to strip it back a little bit. Because I hadn't done anything for 3 years, I literally got into the studio and there was a flurry of creative activity, and it just, you know, I went non-stop for 4 months.
You must have been quite exhausted at the end of it, you know, like, and the, you know, the ideas, were they still coming in the end, or?
I'm still exhausted now. The ideas, look, I guess the one thing is the ideas never stop. You know, that's the one problem I've never had is, you know, I'm one of those people who at night will sit there and the brain's ticking over.
Okay, you don't get writer's block per se?
No, I have the opposite. I have to be really careful about what ideas I pursue. You know, I've got to make sure they're the right ones, and sometimes you've got to take a gamble or a risk. So for me, I think, you know, if I end up pursuing the wrong idea, I may learn from it, but I might have also wasted a couple of weeks too.
Yeah. So it's on now. It's only got another till the end of this week, isn't
it? Yeah. So it's been up for a week already. Did an artist talk yesterday and had the opening night last week. I'll be around the gallery on Tuesday and also this Saturday. So if anybody else out there wants to drop by and say hello, I'm always up for a bit of a chat.
Now, do you have your own website?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So if you look for busyplayingart.wordpress.com.
Right. You'll see there. And, of course, at this moment, you'll be able to go to the 45 Downstairs website and there'll be images there, of course.
Yeah, there's lots of images. There's a few videos online as well. I actually recorded every day in the studio.
Oh, okay.
So you can sort of see the work changing over time. And there's a really lovely big work in the exhibition that was started as a canvas on the studio floor, and I worked on that over the 4 months while I was working on everything else. So if you do jump online and have a look at the video, you can actually see the studio floor changing and then eventually become a really big 2x4 meter painting.
Right, okay. A great idea. What's that website again?
busyplayingart.wordpress.com.
Thank you so much for coming in, and can't wait to see the exhibition because I'm going down this week to have a look.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9.